ध्यायामो धवलावगुण्डनवतीं तेजोमयीं नैष्टिकीं स्निग्धापाङ्गविलोकिनीं भगवतीं मन्दस्मितश्रीमुखीं वात्सल्यामृतवर्षिणीं सुमधुरं सङ्कीर्तनालापिनीं श्यामाङ्गीं मधुसिक्तसूक्तिम् अमृतानन्दात्मिकाम् ईश्वरी। So in the previous previous week, like a week back, a week ago, we saw the 11th and 12th shloka of the 6th chapter, where Krishna was talking about how to set the stage for dhyanam, set the stage for anusandhanam. Anusandhanam, like if we have to do anusandhanam or contemplation, yeah. So we saw Krishna talking about dhyanam and the way to do dhyanam, how dhyanam, the stage for dhyanam is set so that it will help to do nididhyasanam or anusandhanam. So it is like, it is kind of worth, or it is very much important to keep in mind that even dhyanam, like when we talk about dhyanam, even dhyanam, the meditation that we do, sitting in a place, shuchaudeshe pratishtapya stiramasanam atmanah, so whatever Krishna has already explained, that like sit in a secluded area and all those. So whatever that has been explained, all those dhyanam, like all those activities which lead to dhyanam, and dhyanam in itself should lead to anusandhanam. So that is the goal. The goal, the ultimate goal, is to be able to remember, be able to keep in mind that everything is one Brahman or one Ishvara. That anusandhanam requires a lot of focus, and focus, we can gain focus by doing a lot of dhyanam. Dhyanam puts the mind into a state, or it tunes the mind so that the mind will be able to focus easily on Brahman. So that is why dhyanam is very helpful, and dhyanam is essential. Dhyanam cannot be avoided by sadhakas, because dhyanam will ensure that we are able to get a proper mind. We are able to properly tune the mind so that the mind will be easily able to remember Ishvara amidst all the problems that we face today, or like whatever we face in life today. So today, if we look around, like if we take any newspaper or read any news, we see so many problems around. So earthquakes, storms, and if we think like there is only snowstorm and winter storm or rain storm and all those, like in India, it's very hot these days. So we can also the sandstorm that is currently affecting places in China. So sand, like the entire place, like is looks reddish, and it can also cause health trouble. So everywhere we have problems. So amidst all those problems, like these problems, of course, the goal of Vedanta is not to get rid of these problems. Problems will still be there. Problems can never be removed. Problems can never be completely eradicated, because that is the very nature of the world. The nature of the world is anityam asukam lokam. So the world is such that like it is anityam, so it is temporary. Temporary means it's constantly changing. That which is constantly changing, if that which changes each and every moment, that will cause problems. That is problem. Change itself is a problem. So change, that which changes, that which goes from one shape or one form or one like from one attribute to another. So that always causes problem, because that itself is a problem. That is why Krishna says anityam asukam lokam. This world is anityam, therefore it is asukam, therefore it is a source of sorrow. So that's how the world is. So like we cannot, that is, problems are part of the world, part and parcel of the world. Problems are the very nature of world. Problems cannot be removed. So trying to remove, eradicate problems in the world, problems of the world, is like trying to get rid of the poverty that people face in the dream world. So a person goes to sleep, and when the person is sleeping, the person dreams that there are people there are a lot of people in the country or in the nearby area, neighbors. Lot of people, they all are suffering due to poverty. So trying to get rid of that poverty, how foolish is it? Yes, while we are in that world, while we are in the dream world, we may have to try to get rid of try to get rid of poverty. But can we ever succeed in eradicating poverty in the dream world? Never. It's impossible. There is no possibility, because there is no dream world. That which doesn't exist, how can we remove it? So it is as good as removing or getting rid of water in the desert. There is no water at all, then how can we get rid of water? We cannot get rid of water. If we have to get rid of water, if we have to eradicate the problems caused by water, then we have to assert, we have to know, we have to keep in mind that it is not water, it is desert. So that is what we have to keep in mind. So in order to get rid of the problems of the world, the only way to get rid of the problems of the world is remembering Ishvara, remembering Brahman. So when we remember Ishvara or Brahman, then automatically problems will vanish. So as Gaudapada Acharya says, prapancho yadi vidyeta nivartetana samshaya maya matramidam dvaitam advaitam paramartatah. So prapancho yadi vidyeta, if you think this world exists, if you think like this world seems to exist, then don't worry. If a sadhaka who progresses in the spiritual path will find that the world will stand aside, the world will stop causing any problem. Na samshayaha, there is no doubt. There is no doubt that the world will vanish. Why? Maya matram idam dvaitam. This world, this dvaitam, dvaita prapancham, this dual world is just an illusion. It is maya matram, it is not real. So that which is not real will pave way, like when we seek truth. So that which is unreal will pave way for reality. So that means we have to keep in mind Brahman. So even as when Moses faced problem while crossing the ocean, he just said let the ocean split into two, and the ocean split into two. So what do all those signify? All those signify is, it's not that today somebody has to go to the Pacific Ocean and say let the sea split into two or let the ocean split into two. No. If that happens, then the flood threat that is happening in the Red River in the Midwest, so all those problems will be there. Imagine Ganga splitting. If Ganga splits, if splitting means it has to go somewhere else, it will cause big trouble, it will cause big problem. So all those that's not the goal of all those stories or incidents. The goal of that story, that incident, is that when we have faith, when we have Ishvara, when we remember Ishvara, when we are able to keep Ishvara in our mind, when Ishvara's thought is there in our mind, then automatically the world will stop posing a problem. The world will step aside, the world will stand down, making us progress very easily. But that need requires remembrance of Ishvara, considering Ishvara as the goal. having Ishvara like as the goal, the ultimate goal of life. So we may go behind worldly pleasures. Like we may experience worldly pleasures. We may run behind worldly possessions, relatives, friends, etc. Like we may do all those. Like we may in jnani or an avatara purusha is not like one who has renounced everything and only remembers Ishvara externally. Anything is fine. Externally, like anything is fine. Externally, such a jnani might behave like an ajnani, but internally the jnani remains ever blissful because the jnani remembers Ishvara, remembers Brahman, and therefore problems cease to be problems. There are no problems. So when we see a snake in the rope, there is a rope lying on the ground. So when we see a snake in the rope, like we'll get afraid. We'll think that the snake will bite us. So there is a problem. Fear from the snake seen in the rope. That fear vanishes when we know there is no snake. The moment we know there is no snake, the fear automatically vanishes. Fear will vanish. So fear vanishes, like it means like we may still see the snake. Somebody might say like we may think that it is a snake, but there'll be no fear because we know there is no snake at all. Though the snake might still seem to be there, appear. Oh, why would duality appear? We all know that the dream world is an illusion. We know there is no dream world, but still we dream. We have learned like n number of times. We have thought quite a lot. We have kept in mind that. This world is like a dream world, and the dream world is an illusion, but still we dream. Every day we go to bed like we dream. So that means there is nothing wrong with dreaming. Like if we know that the dream world is unreal, then there is no problem with dreaming. Similarly, when we know that this world is an illusion in Ishvara, then it doesn't really matter whether we experience the world or not. Once we know there is no snake in the rope, it doesn't matter whether we see the snake or not. We will be able to ever rejoice in bliss amidst all the problems that we face. So, if we look in history, if we think like we face quite a lot of problems in life, so we have to just look at history or look in history. So, like most of the great people in history, they have all faced like big problems. Rama had to stay for 14-15 years like from his brothers. So Rama, who lived or like who was brought up like a prince, like in a kingly fashion, he had to live a hermit's life. And was that it all? No. While living as a hermit, people like Ravana comes and like he steals, and then there is no trouble. There is no peace at all. And Ravana steals away Sita, so there is no peace. And is that the end? Okay, obviously, Rama like goes over, wins Sita back, kills Ravana. Then does it end there? No. People start questioning Sita. And Rama has to send her to Valmiki's ashram, and then Lavakusha comes, and then like we may think it is peaceful, then what happens? Sita just vanishes. Sita, like Bhumi Devi, takes away Sita. So that is what, like how life is. So those people like Rama, Krishna, like he was born in a prison. He was born in a prison, and daily he had to face like one asura. And then like so many problems he faced. So like if we think like the problems that we face in the world today are like the problems that we face are huge, like we just have to look in history. Oh, Rama, Krishna and all are epic, like we don't know whether they are real or not. Swami Vivekananda's family was like in poverty, total utter poverty. Ramana Maharshi is life like Ramana Maharshi. Oh, Ramana Maharshi. It is a mountainous region filled with tigers, filled with wild animals, but very cold during winter and all, and still he used to remain there just with a loin cloth. And then he established the mud. And then what happened? Then legal issues, somebody says, they are the owners of the mud. Issues come in. And then after that, what happens? Then there are followers, everything becomes calm. No. Then he gets the tumor, all those start. So that means they faced a lot of problems. If we look at Amma's life, Amma has faced so many problems, starting from her childhood. So looking at all those problems, our problems are not at all problems. What did Christ have to go through? If we think about whatever all these spiritual masters had to go through, our problems will cease to be problems. We don't even need Vedanta for our problems to cease to be problems. But that itself is not enough, because if we need Vedanta to eradicate problem completely. We can't just compare with some spiritual master and say, oh, they faced a lot of problem, therefore it's fine. No, it will temporarily negate or temporarily reduce our problem or our perspective of problem. But for permanently removing problem, we have to understand as to how they were able to get rid of the problem. So they were able to get rid of the problem very easily. They got rid of problem very easily because they were able to keep in mind that everything is one Ishwar, everything is Brahman. So that thought, that one thought that everything is Brahman, made them very blissful. As Shankara says, we know the shloka, yogaratova, bhogaratova, sangaratova, sangavihinaha, yasya brahmani ramate chittam nandati nandati nandatyeva. So yogam, bhogam, sangam, asangam. So sometimes enjoying, sometimes not enjoying, sometimes problems, sometimes facing asuras, sometimes facing his mother. Krishna went through all those. Sometimes external happiness, happiness while meeting his brother, meeting his parents, Devaki and Vasudeva. Happiness. And then at other times facing of Kamsa, facing of being in the Mahabharata Yuddha. All those problems, but still, irrespective of all those states, Krishna was able to remain very blissful because he remembered that everything is one Brahman. So that Brahma Bhavam, when that Brahma Bhavam or Advitiya Brahma Bhavam, that everything is one Ishvara is there in our mind, we will be able to maintain peace of mind amidst all the problems that we see in the world today. So it is compared an ocean. So we'll become an ocean. So externally the ocean has waves. So waves, waves means turbulence. So externally our world will also have our life or our world or our life will also have problems. There will be problems in our life. Our life also will face a lot of problems. We'll face many problems that any person in the world faces. Just because we learn Vedanta, just because we go to a spiritual master like Amma, doesn't mean all our problems will end. So people who don't have any external problem, they'll have mental problem, they'll create problem. So if we think just by being near with Amma, problems will vanish. There are people who are very, who are near Amma. There are people who are in the ashram, who are very close to Amma, who talk with Amma very freely. Are they happy? They are not happy. They don't have any external problem. Amma is there to protect them. Jagadamba is there. Ishvara is there. Jagadamba, Ishvara is there to protect them. But still, Devi is there and still they are not happy. They create mental problems. I am not able to go to this place. I am not able to go to that place. Some or the other problem. So that's why Yoga Vasishtha says, Manayeva Manishyanam Karanam Bandha Mokshayoho Bandhaya Vishayasaktam Muktaihi Narvishayam Smritam. Mind alone is the cause of mind alone is the cause of bondage and liberation. So the mind alone, mind alone is the cause of problem. The mind, when a person's mind when a person is able to have a mind that doesn't stick on to the worldly objects, that remembers that worldly objects are just illusions, such a mind is in liberation. Whereas the mind which thinks that worldly objects are real, the mind which considers worldly objects and as real and runs behind them for happiness, such a mind is in bondage. So everything is in mind. And like jnanis have a mind which is filled, asya brahmani ramate chittam, their minds are filled with Brahman. So that is what we earlier saw, like we saw in the earlier shlokas of the chapter as sarva sankalpa sanyasi. So a person like who has maintained, who does sanyasam, sarva sankalpa sanyasam, like sanyasam, like sanyasam or renunciation of all the thoughts of the mind. Thoughts of the mind means those thoughts like which are against Brahma Bhavam. So this doesn't mean like thoughts should not be there. Thoughts can be there, but any thought without like Brahma Bhavam, like as long as Brahma Bhavam is there, other thoughts are fine. Without Brahma Bhavam, having the other thoughts, that is the problem. So we can leave a house open. So there is nothing wrong with leaving a house open, as long as the dog is there inside. So the dog is there inside the house and the dog is not chained. The dog is ready to pounce upon any thief. Then like we can, there is no problem with like leaving the door open. So Amma gives a beautiful story to illustrate this. So through this one thought of like this thought of Brahman, Brahma Bhavam, will be able to conquer all other thoughts. All other thoughts will like remain very calm, like all other thoughts will remain harmless. They won't harm us. They'll be just there for survival of the body, surviving in the world. They'll just be there, but they'll not harm us at all. So how, like Amma says, like once like a shishya asked a guru how to control the mind. The mind has like so many thoughts, so how can we control the mind? I'm not able to control the mind. There are so many thoughts that are coming in my mind. So then the guru said, like, it is very easy. Like, it's not tough. Then the shishya said, like, no, I'm not able to understand. Then the guru, instead of explaining or giving him explanation, the guru decided to teach him through through practice or an example, making an example or giving a live example. So what the guru did was, the guru said, like, the guru had a lot of squirrels in the house. So though all the squirrels were put in cages, so the guru said, like, open all the cages. So the cages were opened, so the squirrels started running around in the hut, and then like the guru said, like, now try catching the catching, and like you have to catch and put all the squirrels back in the in their cages. So the shishya tried, but like it was impossible. And then like the guru opened the door as well, door of the hut. The squirrels started running everywhere outside. So the shishya tried as much as he could. Like, he couldn't even catch one squirrel. And all of a sudden he saw that all the squirrels started running back to their cages. He was surprised, like he's trying to catch them. They are running outside and he's trying to catch them, like, but now automatically they are going out. You know, like they are going into the cages. They don't want to be out. And then he saw that the guru had let the dog out. So the dog was out, and therefore all the squirrels came automatically into the cages. So the dog, Amma says, the dog, the fierce thought, the thought of Ishvara. When we have the thought of Ishvara, all other thoughts will step aside. All other thoughts will become harmless. It will become very harmless. They will still be there. We will have thoughts, like we will have thoughts about like getting up in the morning, like tomorrow what we will do, what should I do, like should I eat, should I sleep. All those thoughts will be there. Like, thoughts cannot be avoided. Thoughts will always be there. But will be able to remain unaffected by those thoughts because of Brahma Bhavam, because of Advaita Bhavam. And if we have to have Advaita Bhavam, maintaining Advaita Bhavam in our mind is Anusandhanam or Nididhyasanam. If we have to do that, like if we have to keep that in mind, then we have to try to control the mind, try to tune the mind so that the mind is able to, remain unaffected, focused on, Brahman. So that is where Dhyanam comes into picture. So if we forget this aspect of Dhyanam, Dhyanam should lead to Anusandhanam, Dhyanam should lead to Nididhyasanam, a state where we are able to contemplate on Brahman, then Dhyanam, the purpose of Dhyanam itself is lost. So Dhyanam will not serve any purpose. Instead, Dhyanam will only become an obstacle. Dhyanam itself will become an habit, So like we have many habits, drinking coffee, tea, smoking, all those habits are there in the world. Dhyanam will become one more habit. So it will become just one more habit. And that habit like will not protect us, it will not help us, like we will suffer due to that habit itself. So one day like a person doesn't do Dhyanam, like will become very sad. And like if after 2 years or 3 years of doing Dhyanam, like I'm not able to control my mind is still running, I'm not able to do more Dhyanam, so all those thoughts will be there. That is why Dhyanam should lead us to Advaita Bhavam. And we, as we saw, like we can maintain Advaita Bhavam even in Dhyanam. Even in Dhyanam, like what we do, Atatra Pratyaya Ekatanasa Dhyanam. Dhyanam means a state, like Dhyanam itself means like where, a state like where we remove all thoughts and focus on one thought. So Dhyanam itself means like oneness. But like in that oneness, like if we are able to bring in, if we are able to pull in like Advaita Bhavam, Advaita Brahman or Ishvara, then Dhyanam itself will become Anusandhanam very easily, very quickly, and that will take us to the goal very soon. Like it will take us to the goal very soon, like very soon, Nachida, as Krishna says in many places, like very soon, like you will not have to wait a lot at all. So the shloka that we are going to see is like the 13th shloka, where Krishna gives means of focus. So in the previous two shlokas, 11th and 12th shloka, we said that like about sitting the external environment, like as to how we have to sit, like it should be a pure place, like it should not be high, it should not be low, and there we have to gain concentration, focus the mind, and therefore like we have to do samadhi, yogam abhyasam, we have to do. So how can we do how can we get focus? So how should we get focus? That is being spoken about in this shloka, in the 13th shloka. So samam kaya shiro grivam dharayan achalam stiraha samprekshinasikagram swam dishascha anavalokayan. So like if it's not just enough to set the external environment. In order to gain focus of mind, like through dhyana, it is not enough to just set the external environment. Like we have to gain some, if we have to gain focus, like we have to get rid of the problem with respect to body. So impurity, external impurity, bodily impurity, all those are fine. But still, the body may still pose a problem. So therefore, we should sit in a position where like our body is very straight. Like if our body is very straight, our head is very straight. So like when doing dhyanam, the posture is very important in dhyanam, asana, as Patanjali says, like it is very important, because if asana is not proper, what will happen? Like when we are doing dhyanam, when we try to do dhyanam, or when we are doing dhyanam, like our head will pain, or like we sit in a position, like we sit a crooked way, then like our body will pain. So many people try doing dhyanam, and like when they do dhyanam, like they say, oh, my neck is paining after dhyanam. Why? The posture is not proper. Posture has to be proper. Dhyanam like should help us like in relaxing not just the body, relaxing the mind. But instead, dhyanam will cause a problem for the body. That should not be the case. So the body The body should be kept straight. The body should be kept relaxed. So should be the head. Head portion is also important. So head should be very relaxed. And then like we should not move. Achalam. Achalam sthiraha. Achalam without any movement. Sthiraha stable. So stable and without any movement. Because movement, like if we move our body, like where will we get any concentration? Concentration will be only like in moving the body. Am I moving the body right? Like am I, like is my leg proper? And all those will be the thought. So we have to remain steady. We have to remain unaffected or unwavering is the right word. Unwavering. And then remaining unwavering, try to focus between your focus at the tip of your nose. So, focus at the tip of your nose. So, that way we can gain concentration. Of course, this is one of the ways of gaining concentration. So, gaining focus or concentration, like initially we can look between the eyebrows or look at a point in the front. Look at the tip of our nose and then slowly close our eyes and then like we'll be able to gain concentration. So, gaining concentration after closing the mind all of a sudden is impossible. So, first, while opening the eyes, try to gain concentration and then slowly close your eyes, automatically concentration will come. So this is just one of the way, like looking at the tip of the nose. So of course, this shloka, these shlokas like can be taken literally as ways of doing dhyanam properly, but we should never take all this like literally. We should try to imbibe or see the Vedantic import in it so that like it will become more useful for us. So body steady, steady body, steady body, like our body remaining steady means, what that means is that like we should remain steady. We should remain steady means like our focus should be unwavering. Focus on Brahman should be unwavering. If we have to have attained the goal of moksha, then like our the goal should be steady. So in Mundaka Upanishad, there is an analogy given. Dhanurgrahitva grahitva Upanishadam Sharam hi. I forgot like the shloka. Pranavo dhanuhu. Sharohi atma brahmatal lakshimuchyate. So, sharavattanmayo bhavet. So, I forgot again in between. So, like the goal of Brahman is like a goal. So, it is a goal and the goal has to be hit. With a bow and arrow, like we have to hit an arrow. So that is how we have to do. The bow is pranava, ucharanam, or some means of focus, some pratikam, like a form or or something which stands for Brahman. And then the arrow is the jiva, ourselves, like we let ourselves become merged with Brahman through that bow, by the means of that bow. So that means like if we have to attain that goal, like if we have to remain focused on the goal, so that means like achalam sthiraha, like unwavering, like we should remain unwavering. Like we should remain unwavering, like if we are wavering, like if our mind is like wavering, like going here and there, flickering and all, then focus will not be there. If focus is not there, then there is no, we will not be able to like remember Brahman. Like if we are not able to remember Brahman, there will be no moksha at all. So that is what is meant there. And that can be attained. So unwavering, like get an unwavering mind is what Krishna is telling. So get an unwavering mind. So like remain steady. Get an unwavering mind. Remain steady. How can we remain steady? By focusing at the tip of our nose. Focusing at the tip of our nose means like focus on the goal. So never let the goal pass by. So always focus the goal. Always keep the goal in mind. Keep the goal of Brahman in mind. And remain unwavering. Both happen together. Both coexist. Like one is, when one is there, the other will also be there. So remain focused on Brahman. Keep Brahman in mind. Through maintaining by that maintain a unwavering mind. Unwavering mind focus through oneness. Vision of oneness, like as we have seen in many previous shlokas, that is something like we can do. So this is where like our Sanatana Dharma, we have many, many yajnas, many, many rituals. So when we get up in the morning, like in ancient times, people used to offer their prostrations to Surya Bhagavan, offer their prostrations to Bhumi Devi. Whatever we see, like offer our prostrations, like herbs, trees, animals, plants, like everything, like she used to be respected, even in sentient rocks. So that is what we worship in the temple. So like everything is worshipped. So that gives it like a focus. That is how focus can be gained. So focus or oneness. Focusing at the tip of our nose means like Advaita Bhavam. Advaita Bhavam doesn't necessarily just mean like this Jagat is Mithya. Advaita Bhavam through remembering that this Jagat is Mithya is kind of very tough. So if the Jagat is Mithya, then like the next minute, like we should not bother about like I am feeling hungry, I should eat food. We should not think like that. But we will think because that is the very nature. So we can't ignore that. So Jagan Mithya is kind of very tough. Jagan Mithya is like very, very tough. The easier way is like try to, okay, why should we negate the world? Why should we consider the world as unreal? Why not consider the world as Brahman? See the world as Brahman. Like when we see the world as Brahman, where is the world? The world is not there. So Jagan Mithya, focusing on the snake to be unreal, is okay, but like it's very tough. It requires a lot of mental courage. But it is easier to assert the snake to be rope. Assert that to be the rope. See the rope there. See the rope. Like even as we see snake in the rope, see rope in the rope. Oh, isn't it illogical to see rope in the rope? Yeah, it is illogical, but this entire world is illogical. What is logical? Like we get up in the morning, like we go to bed in the evening, like we get up in the morning again. And like one fine day, like we see a person, like we meet a person, meet a friend, like and the very next day, like the person is not there. The person vanishes, like vanishes from earth. So that is what happens. So it is illogical, like daylight saving, this time, this, that. So many things are there in the world, like which are very illogical. There is no explanation for it. There are no explanations for a lot of things in the world. So along with that, one more illogicality is also fine. Illogicality, to get rid of illogicality, is very good. So see rope in the rope. Seeing this world as Brahman. When we see this world as Brahman, it will, that itself will give us focus. We don't have to get rid of the world. The world automatically vanishes. That is why Gaudapada Acharya says that, like, Prapancho Yadi Vidyeta Nivarteta, it will vanish. Why it will vanish? It will vanish, or it will have to vanish because we see it as Brahman. Like, when we see the world as Brahman, the world just vanishes. When we see the water and desert as desert, the water vanishes. Water just vanishes. If the water just vanishes, then there is no problem from the water. So that is how we can very easily do. So that vision of oneness is focused. That vision of oneness is like that is what is meant like by Krishna here as focus at the tip of your nose. So focus at the tip of your nose. So what Krishna means here is that Advaita Bhavam, that vision of oneness, that is what is meant here. That is what Krishna means here, and it is very easy. So that is something like which we have to develop, and that is like trying to do that along with dhyanam and other stuff is the true purpose of even dhyanam. So dhyanam, even when we do dhyanam, we have to try to keep in mind that like the dhyanam, the implementation of dhyanam in anusandhanam through focus, through Advaita Bhavam, through vision of oneness is something like that we have to do, that we have to implement. So like we may be doing dhyanam for like half an hour, we may be doing dhyanam for 5 minutes, like we may be doing dhyanam for 10 minutes, it doesn't matter like how long we are doing dhyanam, but we should try to implement nividhyasanam, because dhyanam, like we know how busy we are in the world, so we are not in an era like where we we can always kind of remember, like we can always keep in mind, Ishvara is there through dhyanam. So we cannot do dhyanam like at all times. We are in a like busy world. We are in a busy world like where we cannot do dhyanam for 24 hours a day. Like we cannot do that. So therefore, the way out is trying to remember that everything is one, Ishvara is Brahman, and dhyanam should pave the way to such a nididhyasana. So dhyanam should help us in contemplating, in gaining contemplation on Brahman. Brahmanyadaya karmani sangam tyaktva karoti yah lipyatena sa papena patma patram ivambasa. So like Brahmanyadaya, like offering, like offer all actions onto Ishvara, onto Brahman, and without any attachment to actions perform them. Like when we do that, then such a person doesn't get tainted by the sins of action. Even as the lotus leaf is not wet by water, though it is in water. So getting affected, getting tainted by action means dukkham. So taint of action, like it doesn't mean like, oh, it is sinful action, this is a bad action, that is a bad action, nothing like that. Sinful action or like sin is as simple as that which leads to dukkham. So in many cases, even dhyanam becomes a sin, because dhyanam also leads to dukkham. So people join mission, like as we talked about, like people go to retreats. Retreat itself becomes dukkham. Why? Amma didn't look at me. Amma didn't talk to me. So retreat itself becomes a source of dukkham. So that is sin. So that sin will not be there. Like Amma herself says, oh, Amma doesn't say all this. Amma says. What does Amma say? Accept everything as Ishvara's will. When something good happens, consider it as Ishvara's grace. When something bad happens, consider it as Ishvara's will. That is offering everything to Ishvara. That is offering Ishvarapitam Naichaya Kritam. So offering all activities onto Ishvara. That is what is meant by offering all activities onto Ishvara. So when we offer all activities onto Ishvara, then there is no dukkham. Why? Because we are offering like everything to one Brahman. So we are remembering that there is only one Brahman. Like we are keeping in mind that Brahman alone exists here. So if Brahman alone exists here, then like where is dukkham? There is no dukkham. Dukkha lesham, like dukkha lesha spraham, there will not be any dukkham at all. This means stito na dukkena guruna api vichalyate. Even the greatest worldly dukkham, like the greatest worldly sorrow that we may have to face, like we will not get affected by it. So when Balakrishnan Nair, his wife passed away or was about to pass away, she was in the hospital, he was almost dying. Like he went to see her, and like he was standing beneath or beside her, and then like he was beside her, I guess, and he was saying like everything is one Brahman, everything is one Ishvara. He was saying that and smiling. So that is how like we should be able to live. At the end of his life, Krishna, like when Uddhava like cries to Krishna to say, oh Krishna, where are you going? Like how are you going? Why are you going away? You should be there to protect. Krishna is smiling. And Krishna, that Krishna knew, whatever was happening is, his entire family, his entire clan, they were fighting amongst each other, and then they were killing each other. So his entire clan was getting destroyed. The clan which Krishna had protected for many years, protected from Jarasandha, protected from many asuras, the clan like with whose essence was Krishna, but still like when they were fighting, Krishna was able to remain very blissful because this Advaita Bhavam was there. If this Advaita Bhavam is there, that everything is one Ishvara, it is just a dream world. It is just a play, it is just a drama. A movie is going on. We are portraying a particular role in the movie. The role is like a role may be good, role may be bad, like a role may be like 5 minutes, role may be 10 minutes, role may be like 100 years, 50 years, 60 years, it doesn't matter. Whatever happens, yanmamastu tadastu me. as Janaka says, like, whatever happens, like, I am going to remain as the Self. Whatever happens, I will remain as Brahman, like, I will remember Brahman, that Brahman alone exists here. If we are able to do that, we'll be able to remain very blissful like Krishna lived. And that is the goal of life today. Like, we have everything in the world, like, we have like whatever pleasures are there, whatever technological advancements that are there in the world, everything we have with us, everything is under the the tip of our fingers. Like, just go to internet, like, just Google or Bing, like, everything is there. If you need food, like, just a phone call away, and like, you don't even have to call, you can go online and order food. Anything and everything is possible in this world today. Everything is possible, like, at the tip of our fingers, but there is no happiness at all. Everybody is suffering, starting from the President of the United States, the President of various countries. Like, nobody is happy. Everybody is sad, like, for one or the other reason. So that is how it is. So if we are able to remember Brahman, we'll be able to remember way, or we will be able to remain very blissful amidst all the problems that we face in the world. Problems, like, as we mentioned earlier, problems will cease to be problems. Problems will not be problems at all. Problems will become blissful. In one story, like, Amma says that, like, once somehow, like, when Rama, like, got angry with Hanuman, Rama, like, was, but Rama took his bow and arrow, like, and he shot arrows at Hanuman, but the arrows became flowers. Why? Even as each arrow fell on Hanuman, it became a flower, it became a garland of flower. So that is how it will be. Like, all problems that we face, they will become, like, very blissful. They will become blissful experiences. We will be able to remain very blissful, as Krishna says, Kama Krodha Vyuktana Yatinam Yata Chetasam Abito Brahma Nirvanam Vartate Viditatmanam. Such a person, like, who remembers that everything is one Brahman, a person, like, who is able to keep in mind that Brahman alone exists here, such a person, will be devoid of Kama Krodham, devoid of attachment and aversion, because there is no Dvandva Bhavam. And when there is no Dvandva Bhavam, such a person experiences the Self, experiences Brahman, experiences Ishvara in this entire world. This entire world becomes Ishvara. There is no world at all for such a person. Drishtim jnanamayim krutva pashyet brahmamayam jagat. When we have the vision of knowledge, then we will consider, like, we will see this entire world as Brahman. Like, it will become Ishvara. So when everything is seen as one Ishvara, then abhito brahman nirvanam vartate. Around such a person, surrounding such a person, bliss will dance. As Shankara says, nandati nandati nandatyeva. Blissful experience, like, there will be bliss. Bliss alone will be the experience for such a person. There will be immense bliss. And this bliss is not like worldly pleasure. The worldly pleasure, like worldly pleasure or worldly pleasures, like, the more and more we experience them, they will, like, take the life out of us. They will make us more weaker. And like the thirst, like the, which with each and every experience of worldly pleasures, the thirst will grow. So, like, najatu kamaha kamana upabhogena shamyate avisha krishna vartmaiva bhuyeva abhivardate vino. The shloka that, like, trying to get rid of desires by enjoying them is like pouring ghee onto fire and trying to extinguish it. It will burn more. The fire will not be extinguished, it will burn more. So the more and more we experience, like, worldly pleasures, like, those happiness, like, it will only cause more and more tension. Like, we will want more and more. The thirst will never end. Whereas if we are able to maintain this Advaita Bhavam, then we will be able to remain very blissful. Like, even if the entire entire world were to collapse, even if but the sky were to fall down, even if like we are the sole person remaining behind in this world, irrespective of anything and everything, we'll be able to be very blissful. And such blissful, such peaceful state is the goal. That is the goal of life itself, not Vedanta. That is the goal of life. The very goal of life is to remain very blissful, remain very peaceful. We be able to say, okay, I am content with my life. If my life has to end now, I am ready for it. Such a view, such a perspective, thought having in the mind, such or being able to say that in the mind, that is what is the goal of life. And that can be done through contemplation of Ishvara or Brahman as pervading this entire world, which will be strengthened through Dhyanam. So even though we may do Dhyanam, Japam and many other activities, we should remember that the goal to be achieved through all of them is Advaita Bhavam, is remembering that everything is one, Brahman alone, and thereby rejoicing in bliss. So may Amma bless us so that we may be able to achieve that goal of remaining very blissful at all times in this very birth itself. We'll continue in the next day. Namaskar.